Sexual privilege, fame, addictive money, getting richer, power, manipulation. Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school.
Nation, what is going on? It's your host, Mr. Hearn.
And this is co-host, Pastor Allen.
And we are the School of Life Podcast. Listen, thank you for everyone who continues to listen, to continue to support. Please like, share, write reviews. I actually found out the person that wrote that review. And yeah, I'm just going to leave that there.
Okay.
I actually know the person who did it.
Mystery box.
It's a mystery box person, right? And but I guess I need to go ahead and get the gift card because, yeah, I guess I should. Okay, whatever. But anyway, this person who wrote it don't count. They don't count. They don't count. But anyway.
But thank you, though.
But thank you. But we appreciate it. We appreciate it. You know, I was excited. Like, oh, we got a review.
I tell you what.
Okay.
The next person who writes a review.
Okay. The next person.
This, you know, non-family affiliated.
Non-family
right?
affiliated.
No, no
right?
blood, no last name.
Right, right.
I'll get the next gift card. You down with that?
I'm down with that.
All right, okay. All right.
So you still have time to enter into the School of Life Podcast sweepstakes, okay?
That's it, the sweepstakes.
The sweepstakes, right? I don't even know what sweepstakes mean for real. Like, what does that even mean?
We're just going to come to the house with a giant $20 check.
giant check, $20.
Here you go.
From the School of Life Podcast. Man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
You feeling great?
Yeah,
it's good.
How about you, man?
I'm.
Well, you got a big smile on your face.
I know, man. That's because I'm with my brother, man.
Okay,
that's why. I'm with you. I'm with my brother. But today, man. Those of you don't know, I tested to be a sergeant more recently. I passed the test. The first part was just an assessment as far as like written.
Okay.
And then the second half of the test today was your oral board, whatever.
All right.
You know, I've been fortunate to speak, you know, I've spoken in front of like maybe thousands of people, you know, before in my life. You know, so I'm very familiar with public speaking, talking to people and stuff like that. I'm usually very poised, you know, even at, you know, dark times, yeah. Uncomfortable times. I'm poised, man. But when I say that, like, I've never been this nervous in my entire life, yo.
Wow.
Like, it was intense, man. And, yeah, so it was like an assessment center for like law enforcement. So it was like they gave you 5 questions. Okay. And then when they gave you the 5 questions, you had 30 minutes to review the 5 questions. So that's practically you get about 6 minutes a question, right?
Okay.
And they give you a piece of paper and you can take notes. After you get done with that, that time is up. I literally went right into my assessment room. I sat in with 3 people sitting there.
Okay.
And it's not personal. They didn't ask me no questions about myself, about where I come from, my ability to lead, how do I handle pressure, how do I handle stress, what makes me a good leader, why should I be a sergeant. It was 5 scenario questions, and it was like, okay, question number 1, go ahead, what's your response? Loop time.
Wow.
I was like, what? Now? Like, want me to talk? Like, so I'm pretty sure my first words was probably like, yabba dabba do, because I was just like, yeah, what? Well, I would, like, because it was just like, out the blue. And it's like,
wow.
I knew what to expect. And even a person with experience I have in speaking and stuff like that, dude, I was so freaking nervous. Like,
wow.
I've never been that nervous in my life. And the more, like, when I got to question 3, I was comfortable by then. Like,
okay.
I found my zone.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, boom,
knocked
it out. I found my rhythm.
Like right there.
Yep.
Okay.
And I stayed in that pocket. You know what I'm saying? So by that time, I was good. But, you know, I guess, you know, they say hindsight is always 20/20. And thinking back on some of the questions, I was like, oh, I could have did this. Oh, I should have did this. But ultimately, I answered the questions. And I don't feel like I did something or I said something that would necessarily separate me from the pack,
yeah,
like to make me stand out, mm-hmm. but I felt like I did answer the questions, you know what I'm saying? And I think I did answer them well enough. Like, so, you know, they have to, you know, so they take, so your written assessment is worth 26 points.
Okay.
Your oral assessment is worth 50 points.
Okay.
You get a 10 points maximum for education if you have a bachelor's degree. You get 12 points maximum for seniority. You get 2 points for military, and that's it.
Okay.
So now I just have to wait and see, like, where. So I'm on the list. Like, I'm mm-hmm. going to be on the list to be promoted to sergeant. But am I number one or am I number 200? Like, that's where that comes in.
Okay.
At. And this is kind of where they put all that together, and hopefully it wouldn't take long, and they'll let me know. And then I'll find out, okay, you're number 5 on the list. Okay, you're number 50 on the list. Mm-hmm. And then as they promote, you know, they do 20, then I just move up. And then next time, and they just keep chucking away at this list until they decide to do another test. But it costs a lot of money. Like, all the proctors were flew in from other states.
Wow.
Because they wanted it to be fair.
Okay.
So they don't want to put somebody you know or you possibly know mm-hmm. or you possibly worked for in front of you. So all of these are sergeants, you know, lieutenants, captains, commanders that are on different police departments across the country.
Okay.
So, you know, the guy, I don't know him from Adam, none of the people I knew.
Okay.
So, you know, I feel like the process was fair, but I just don't feel like the process was, it highlights on who should be a sergeant and who shouldn't be a sergeant.
Yeah.
Like, I think you should focus more on leadership. You should focus more on, like, adaptability. And I just feel like from these scenario questions, I don't think you can get that from that. And I just don't feel like – I feel like when you have an oral interview or oral assessment or something like that, you're supposed to sell yourself. I don't think I was afforded the opportunity to tell myself.
No.
Like, when I went for that interview with DPS,
mm-hmm.
I could tell sitting across the room, I was like, yo, you got this in the bag. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's in the bag. Like – because I just know how to sell myself. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't know what plans they had. Mm-hmm. Whatever plans they had, it's just been interrupted. Because the way that I was able to just knock them home runs out.
Yeah.
Like, just because you ask me questions about myself. You ask me questions about, like, how I think and how mm-hmm. I feel or how I do this, whatever. But when you have a makeshift scenario, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I'm just going to make up something, like, you know, You got 3 employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one has been showing up to work late every day. One of them has been using, like, excessive force or something like that. And then the other one, you know, he's been interacting good with the community. Like, how would you handle this situation?
Okay.
And so it's like, you got to, like, and you got 3 minutes, too. You got 3 minutes to say
how whatever you got to do.
Whatever you, what you would do to,
yeah.
I mean, you know, how would you address these officers? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's just stuff like that, you know, different scenarios. You know, you got, you know, somebody that's doing this and doing that and doing this, and then this happens, and then that happens, and this happens, mm-hmm. and this happens. And what are you going to do?
I've been through something like that before.
It's 3 minutes, bro. Like, how do you want me to? And then it's like, and then it's because it's timed, it's pressure,
mm-hmm.
that kind of automatically speeds you up. And it's like, I'm the most, like, I'm very poised. Like, I'm very, like, under pressure. Like, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like, and then, two, this makes it so bad. So, there's an African-American dude sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, an Asian dude to the right of him and,
okay.
like, a white dude to the right of, to the left of him.
Okay.
And so, like, if anything, I'm like, the black dude kept giving me these faces. So, the other two people were, like, and I was talking, they was writing. So, I'm like, okay, that's good because, obviously, I'm scoring if they writing.
Mm-hmm.
But the black dude would, like, make a face, like, and then he'd look at the paper like he was looking for see if something was there. And then he'd look back at me. And then he'd look at the paper. And then he frowned at me. And I'm just like, am I saying something wrong? Now, I remained confident and just said what I had to say and just let the chips fall where they may. But I'm like, dude, if out of anything, we in here together, my mans. We in here together. Like, you got to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
help me.
Like, help me. Help me. Like, you know what I'm saying? But he was just looking at me, dog, like, did you really just say that? That was stupid. I was about to give you a point. But you know what? Because you just said that, nope, I ain't, like, that's how he made me feel. And I think that was the reason that I came out of it feeling like, I came out feeling like crap, dude. Like,
wow.
Oh, I bombed that. Like, phew, no way. But then it's like, the more that I've kind of, like, you know, just, like, thought about, like, okay, well, my answers were covered base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't do... I don't think, like, so they grade you from 4 being the absolute worst number you can get, and then 10 is the max you can get.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure my answer wasn't 4s, but I'm sure they weren't 10s. They weren't 9 or 10s either.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If you got 7s, you're doing good.
I guess, you know what I'm saying? And it just all depends on where everybody, you know, lays in that. So,
yeah,
that was tough, man.
Look, I can understand that, right? As a person who has gone through that, because when you become an elder, well, at least in Church of God in Christ, before I was at the Baptist church, that's what you would have to go through. You would have to sit down, and even in Baptist church, when I became an elder, you know, you got to sit down with, you know, 5 or 6 pastors. Now, the good thing about that is you at least got your pastor in there, or at least somebody you know, and maybe not the rest of them. But I know for my job, when I went from frontline to supervision, I had to give a presentation in front of 12 supervisors, didn't know not a one of them.
Wow.
And very similar situation as that. And man, it was off the cuff, out the blue. They're like, okay, you, because all they told us, like, are you giving the presentation? I was like, all right, no worries. And they're like, okay, after your presentation, they told you like 2 minutes before, they're going to ask you a series of questions and interview you right on the spot after the presentation.
Oh, wow.
So I can truly sympathize, man. But knowing you like I do, right, I know you're poised, you're calm, you're cool. And I know for a fact you ain't in the bottom tier. Let me just put it like that. I know for a fact, because if it shook you, I know it definitely shook everybody else. Yeah, you know, I've seen you speak. I've seen you conduct yourself. I've seen you in some bad moments, and you've always held it together. So, you know, if anything, my prayers is, you know, God gives you some favor.
Yeah.
And they see beyond that, because I doubt if they just use just that as the sole basis of their decision. That, you know.
And I guess that's where, you know, I've kind of come to him with it. It's like at the end of the day, and I put something on Facebook earlier this week, and it's where it was birthed from. And I said something like, confidence is the key of unlocking, you know what I mean, what God had established before the foundation of earth. And I said something like, we're seeing what God saw already. Like, we're seeing what God already saw. So I believe that, like, I did my best, right? I did my best. I studied for the oral, I mean, for the written assessment. I gave it my best. I passed it. I ain't get 100%, you know what I'm saying? But I had a 81%. I think I got an 81. So I missed a couple questions here and there. But at the end of the day, like, the threshold was a 73. Everybody with a 73 or above would have been going to the next phase. So, and then for the oral board, you know, I spent, you know, they had these classes that these people that I feel like, I don't know if it really worked, but I did my due diligence. I got together with Dave, and, you know, we played through scenarios and talked it out, and I gave him, hey, you need to make sure I'm doing this. So, like, I did my part, and so I just have to believe that what God has for me is what God has for me.
That's it.
And I've been walking around saying, like, hey, no, because I want to be promoted this year. Like, I want to be promoted this year. Simple fact of that would just make me feel good. You know what I mean? That'll just make me happy. That would just be like, and then, you know, sure, you get a pay increase, right? So I want more money. Hey, where my increase at, guy? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I want to be promoted, but it's like, these are all not supernatural. These are all superficial things that would just stroke my ego. But we serve a God who knows all.
Yep.
And who knows when is the right time for being promoted.
That's it.
Because the Bible says, and I hope I'm encouraging myself, I hope I'm encouraging somebody, because I'm preaching to myself.
That's it.
The Bible says that the steps of a good man or woman, you know what I mean, are ordered by the Lord. So I truly believe that wherever I place on this list, it's divine for me to be there.
That's it.
And I may not understand it. I may not see it now. I don't even know where I'm gonna place on the list. But wherever I'm at on that list, it's divine purpose for me to be there, because my life is in God's hands.
That's it.
And I know that, you know, it sounds cliche sometimes, and it sounds like, oh, it sounds like a cop out, like, oh, well, God, but it's like, no, I really, question is, did you do all that you can do? Did you do your best? If you did that, there's nothing else you can do. You know what I mean? And it's like, there's stuff out of my control. Like, on this test, the maximum points you can get for education is 10. Okay, I have a bachelor's degree, so I got 10 points for that, right?
That's what's up.
The maximum points you can get for seniority is 12. So that means that if you have at least 12 years on the job, they give you 12 points for seniority. Well, I only got 5 years seniority, so I'm only going to get 5 points. for that. You know what I'm saying? But I can't help it if a person been on the job longer than me. Like, I can't.
Yeah, certain things just it's out of your
my
hand.
Control. That's and it. And I guess that's the point, is that rest assured that God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And in that plan, you know, just see it through. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, I got certain places I want to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I got places I want to go, places I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I'm in the first round, the only options could be to go where I don't want to go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And that's mm-hmm. just the thing. Like, just keep your faith in God. That I've told myself this week that I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
That's it.
Like, whatever it is, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in mm-hmm. it. And so be encouraged. You know what I mean? I don't know, you know, where you are in your life and what you got going on or whatever, but do all you can do and let God do what he's supposed to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, man, look, I know you. I heard what you said. Mm-hmm. I know you did all right. Well, I mean, what did Jeremiah 29:11 say? He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you.
I know
thoughts
that's right.
Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So that mm-hmm. means that God has a plan for you.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't always understand that plan, mm-hmm. but we trust him. Mm-hmm. So that's what it sounds like you're saying. I trust him.
Yeah.
And because you trust him, everything is going to work out in divine order. Just it, man. I don't care who looked at you crazy or what they asked you, scenarios and all this. This is the scenario. God has last say so.
Right.
That's just it. Bam.
Yeah.
And you know, you all right, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Hey, be encouraged, because I'm being encouraged right now. See, and that's the beauty of brotherhood, man. I know you know, we on the podcast and we're talking and we're streaming this, whatever, but you're just encouraging me. You know what I mean? And just, so I appreciate that. So listen, you gotta have people in your life, man, that support you, that know you, that remind you of who you are and whose you are. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to get too high on your highs, and it's easy to get too low on your lows.
Don't I know it?
You know what I'm saying? But you gotta be. You know what I'm saying? You got to remain at a base, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and go through life. So we're going to get really started. We 18 minutes in. All
right.
I don't want to keep you too long, but I'm going to title this episode Mr. and Mrs. Pretend.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Pretend. And I'm going to say that, I'm going to use that simply because men and women, we pretend. Right.
Yeah.
And we're taught to pretend from a very young age. Right. Yeah. I can just think about being even today. I saw a little girl at Collins football practice, mm-hmm. and she's holding a baby. Like, she's holding a baby in her arm. She can't be more than like 6 or whatever. Okay. But she's already pretending to be matronly. She's pretending to be a mother. She's pretending mm-hmm. to take care of a child. And statistics show that play, especially in the lives of kids, it's great for their development. It helps them to be able to understand. It helps them be able to reason. Mm-hmm. It teaches them responsibilities and all these other great things.
All this stuff.
How to cope, all these things. So pretending is at one point in your life, and it's going to be good for you, mm-hmm. right? It's going to be good for you. But as you grow older mm-hmm. and you become more mature and you grow and you develop, pretending becomes detrimental to who you are mm-hmm. and what you're supposed to be. And we kind of spoke on it briefly, and this message was birthed from a place because I was having a conversation with an individual, and they said I was pretending, and I was like, pretending? Like, what are you, like, how am I pretending? Like, I'm you know, I'm not pretending. Like, this mm-hmm. is real. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I was pretending, right?
Okay.
So it makes me think about different ways that we can pretend that we don't even know that we're pretending, right? Mm-hmm. You could be pretending in an area or in a way, and you don't even realize that it's what you're doing. Hmm. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to bring up those 4 points of the ways we pretend. But so Colin is playing football now.
Okay.
And you know, he went to his first practice, and he was so green, man. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was happening. And it was all cool to see, but he fell in line, and he did what he was supposed to do.
Okay.
And even though he's not good at it, he doesn't have the fine motor skill development. He don't know how to backpedal for real. He just like stumping. It's like he's shouting backwards or something. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but he's learning. And there's going to be, he's five, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be five.
He's young.
He young. So when we were leaving practice and he got in a car and he was like, you know, oh my God, like, you know, I had so much fun. You know, he was expressing how much fun he had. Mm-hmm. And I was excited. Because, you know, they made him do some tough stuff. Bear crawl. He had to run 100 times. Okay. So I was kind of happy to see that, like, even though the practice wasn't easy, that he stuck through it, whatever.
Okay, that's good.
But then he made this statement and was like, you know, I was the fastest out there. And I'm like, hold on, player. Nah. There was 20 other kids out there. And actually, bro, you was in last place. You was not in first place. Like, you wasn't.
No.
But my mind went to how he is around the house.
Okay.
So around the house, he loves to pretend like he's playing football.
Okay.
And he'd be running and he'd be like, Daddy, they couldn't catch me. I was the fastest person. Or I just scored the game-winning touchdown. Mm-hmm. And he got all this pretend play.
Yeah.
He did all of this. And all of that pretend play, I support him. I said, woo, Colin, you're the best. Like, oh, my God, you're the fastest. But in this moment.
Reality.
I said, I said, nah. Because actually, you wasn't the fastest. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, his face went from this smile and this like excitement to more though this like this confusion, like I wasn't. And it's like, yeah, you wasn't actually. There was like 20 other kids and actually you're the last one, but you can become the fastest.
That's it.
But you just have to work at it.
You gotta work.
And right there, that's when the Holy Spirit really like dropped this whole thing. And it's so crazy how it works, because the conversation that I had about pretending was first that happened, and this whole pretend thing got into my mind.
Yeah.
And I said, this registered with my spirit. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm supposed to preach it. I know I'm like, I just know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know how I'm gonna preach this, because we're in a series called Increase. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna preach this message, because it's just, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then this thing happened with Colin, and then it's like, okay, God, you lining it up. And then God dropped it on me. So the Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit right there, is that some of us will not and cannot experience increase in our lives because we are pretending.
Oh, that's a word.
We're pretending.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you are pretending, you don't ever give God something to work with. As long as I pretend that I don't have a money problem, I'm going to continue to spend money in the way that I'm doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the time, if you talk to any counselor, they'll tell you the first step to addressing any problem is first admitting that you have one.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have lust issues. Mm-hmm. Some of us have, you know, we're struggling with homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, we're struggling with all type of stuff, you know, all type of stuff. And we just go through life and we pretend like we're not going through it.
Man, look, and you know, as you were talking, right, like something just jumped in my mind. Because like when you pretending is projecting without product, right?
That's good.
You're projecting something, but you don't have the product
that's
backing
good.
You.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have an issue, right? And you're projecting that you don't have an issue, but you don't have the product or the material or the gain in order to overcome that thing. So you just project. Mm-hmm. And you just say, I'm doing well. I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. I don't have an issue. I don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said, if you never admit that, hey, I got an issue, then the product or the blessing never comes to you.
It never comes to you, because as long as you pretend, you will never do what's necessary to overcome.
Yeah.
As long as you pretend, you will never do what's necessary to have more. So if Colin just keeps on pretending like he's the fastest.
Yeah.
He's never going to work hard to be faster, because he's already said in his mind that he's the fastest.
Yep.
And it's a bold-faced lie.
That's it.
If he doesn't set in his mind that he has to work harder, then he'll go through life accepting that, oh, yeah, I went to practice today, and I was the fastest. And it's like, dude, no, you weren't. But the fact of the matter is, You can be the fastest.
That's it. You just gotta work.
You can be delivered.
Yes.
You can be set free. Mm-hmm. You can have more. You know what I'm saying? You can get a better job.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? You can have a better relationship. Mm-hmm. You can have a better marriage. You can have all of these things.
Yep.
But if you go through life pretending, you're never going to. Man, so it was crazy. I was talking to Kiki, and she asked me, she was like, why do you think that this particular person, and I can't say who the person is. She said, why do you think me and this person never, we haven't hit it off? Like, why we don't have a relationship? Like, okay. Why do you think that is? And I said, I said, that's interesting. I said, I'll say this. I said, everybody has dysfunction, right?
Yep.
Everybody has dysfunction, mm-hmm. right? And I said that I think that this person are afraid of their dysfunction. Hmm. And then she was like, oh, that's interesting because, you know, we've had conversations and she've said to me like, oh, like you're pretty discerning. I could tell like you're pretty discerning. I was like, oh, yeah. So I just said, I was like, some people are afraid of their dysfunction. But I said, I admit and I boast my dysfunction mm-hmm. because it's my dysfunction that makes me human. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not ashamed of what I am not. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed of my shortcomings, my fallings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not going to blast it across the TV or whatever like that. Yeah. But if I'm talking to somebody who's having a similar experience, I'll share like, dog, me too.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, yeah, me too.
That's
like,
how you get help.
That's how you get help. Mm-hmm. That's how you, but moreover, that's how you recognize that you need more, that you that's need it. An increase, that mm-hmm. you need God to do something in your life. And so some of us pretend, and this wasn't even in the notes, some of us pretend because we're afraid of what our dysfunction is going to look like on the outside. Mm-hmm. But when we are afraid of our dysfunction, it's actually our dysfunction that connects us to people because mm-hmm. now I can share in the experience that you have. Now that I know that you're experiencing, you're dealing with what I'm dealing with, that's or it. I know somebody using it with this, now we can have this dialogue and this communication.
And we can build.
And we can build together. But some people are afraid of their dysfunction, so they just pretend.
Yeah.
Right? They just pretend everything is okay because I don't want you to know that I'm dysfunctional. I don't want you to know that, you know, this relationship is dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let you see the dysfunction that's in my life or in my family. So I purposely stay away because I'm afraid of my dysfunction. So my interaction with you can never be authentic. Mm-hmm. And it's not nothing that you're doing. It's not nothing about you. It's in the person. Mm-hmm. It's because they're afraid of their own dysfunction.
Man, look, do you know, I can't say no names, right? Mm-hmm. But as a pastor, I run into that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And usually we get to a point of truth and honesty mm-hmm. in crisis. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, well, why didn't you tell me your marriage was having an issue? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell me you were having an issue with your house or mm-hmm. your job or your children or all this? You know, in crisis, then the pretend falls away, mm-hmm. right? Because now you're like, okay, I don't have anything to hide behind.
Right.
And when you're honest and you say, look, this is the problem I'm having, and I'm glad you said that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, two can chase 10,000 to flight, right? When we come together, you gain power, you gain strength, you gain support.
Right.
You gain love. But a lot of times we go to church pretending like everything okay. I'm mm-hmm. blessed. I'm highly favored. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God. I walk into God. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, every day ain't going to be like that.
Right.
Some days you're going to be like, I need to get on this altar and pray.
Yeah.
You know, pastor, first lady, whoever, you know, I need some prayer because I'm dealing with some stuff right now.
And that's the challenge because even when you said, well, how are you? I was like, because I was like, am I about to really talk about like how I really feel, how this taking this test today really made me feel? Mm-hmm. Or am I just going to be like, oh, man, you know, I'm cool than the other side of the pillow. I'm ready to go. You like, you smiling? Yeah, I'm smiling. But in back of my mind, I'm like, man, like, shoot, I hope I ain't, you know, bomb it. I hope I'm,
wow,
that I'm thinking about that. Like, that's been on my mind all day, whatever. So even in that moment, in this moment of doing this podcast, mm-hmm. I had to choose, like, am I about to pretend? Hmm. Am I going to talk about it offline or am I going to talk about it right now? You know what I mean? And we were able to talk about it. And because we talk about it, you were able to encourage me, right?
Yeah. You started off, though. You started encouraging yourself. You ain't even need me.
But yeah, so I want to get into these ways that we pretend. And my purpose with this is to be able to tell the truth, shame the devil. But, you know, I always like to expose at ourselves or behaviors that we could be in that we not realizing. So the first one, and I think I sent this to you. The first one is what I would call is the imposter, right? Mm-hmm. So the imposter is one who pretends to be something or someone they are not, right? So an imposter is, I know this ain't me, and I know how I really feel about the situation. Mm-hmm. I know how I really feel, and I'm so. In other words, I'm gonna say this: an imposter is what you call a hypocrite, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people think that a hypocrite is saying one thing and then doing another. Mm-hmm. No, that's a human, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can say all day, I'm not going to eat pizza today. And you can have every intention not to eat pizza today. But if you go home and your wife cooked, she bought pizza for dinner.
I'm going to eat some pizza.
You're going to have to eat pizza.
You'll never hear me say that, by the way.
But you know what I'm saying? You're going to eat pizza, right?
That's right.
So it doesn't make you a hypocrite that you said one thing and you did another thing. Mm-hmm. That makes you human.
Yeah.
What makes you a hypocrite is when you believe one thing in your heart. You believe one thing in your heart, and you do the opposite of what you believe. Hmm. So I know that, I'm trying to think of an example that I could use for somebody that's being an imposter. Like, so an imposter would be like, okay, prime example, right? I know that I don't care nothing about the church. I don't care nothing about God's people. I don't care nothing about this. I don't even believe in Jesus for real. Like, yeah. I don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
But I see that I'm very charismatic. I see that I have the gift of gab. I see that I'm a good teacher or whatever. So I go start a church because I know I have influence.
And people,
I can get money from
it.
Yeah. And I can be popular from it. Mm-hmm. And I can do this. And this can help me, whatever. So I don't wholeheartedly believe in what I'm preaching. Mm-hmm. But I just preach it because I can get gain. That is an imposter, and yep. that right there is a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Hypocrite is not somebody who says one thing and does another one. That's a human.
Mm-hmm.
But a hypocrite is somebody who believes in their heart.
Wow.
You know, something is wrong, or you know, or whatever, and does the opposite of what they truly believe.
Yeah, you're going against your convictions.
Yep, you're
100% convictions. Yeah. I'm good. Go
okay,
ahead.
So,
go ahead.
No. So I was just gonna say. So that's the imposter. That's the imposter is yeah. that you're doing something. You are part of something. You're operating mm-hmm. something that you know that you do not wholeheartedly believe in. Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't believe. I'm gonna use this as an example. In your heart of hearts, you believe that shacking is wrong.
Yeah.
And if anybody asks you, 9 out of 10. You'd be like, oh, no, it's wrong to live with a man if you ain't married to him, right? Mm-hmm. You wholeheartedly believe that in your heart,
mm-hmm.
but then you do it.
Yeah. It's not even about deception. It's like willful.
Yeah.
It's willfully doing something that yeah. you know is wrong. Like, I have something right now. I have mm-hmm. a conviction mm-hmm. in my heart that I'm like, you know, there's a certain movie that's coming out, very popular. Mm-hmm. It's coming out next month.
Okay.
I said, I'm not going to see it. Mm-hmm. Because the person who is in it, they've done A, B, and C,
mm-hmm.
which flies surely in the face of who I am mm-hmm. as a Christian, as a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I have friends who have seen it. All have said, oh, this is an amazing movie. They got mm-hmm. in to see it free, early, press pass, and all this. Are you going to see it? I'm like, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would be an imposter to be like, I have these convictions, but I'm going to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's how a lot of people are. You yeah. have conviction, and then you don't stand upon them.
Right.
You just pretend to be somebody else to get along, to go along.
Yep. You just pretend. So I'm totally against this, but because of X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. I'm just going to pretend that I'm okay with this. Right. Yeah. You're being an imposter. Right. You're being an imposter because you're becoming somebody you're not, right, for the sake of whatever it is, right? And so 2 Timothy 3 says this, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, it said, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. While evildoers, it's like a B clause, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, when you are an imposter
mm-hmm.
and you're pretending like that, you go from bad to worse.
Yep.
In other words, you're never going to experience overflow, right? You're never going to experience increase where you are. Actually, being the imposter and pretending is actually hurting you worse than it is helping you. Yep. Whatever the cause is, whatever the reason is, you can make up in your mind the reason why you should do it or why it's okay. But at the end of the day, you're really suffering from this, and it's not helping you. It is not helping you.
No, and it's almost like you're double-minded.
Yeah. Right?
Because, and that splits you in two, not only in your thinking and in your actions, but in who you are as well.
Yeah.
So now, if you're living like that, you can never find comfort in where you're at because you've built an environment based on a lie.
Yeah.
And if you build an environment based on a lie, it's only a matter of time before the weight of that lie breaks down
takes
who you are as a person.
Yep. Ooh. And you find yourself doing things that you shouldn't have been doing, you know, and it's just like, and the crazy thing is that this stuff doesn't have to come from bad intentions.
No.
Sometimes we have good intentions, but in good intentions, we become an imposter because we try to have things or do things that we shouldn't have and we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the scripture says, look, you're going to go from bad to worse because I don't care what's the reason why you're doing it, but this ain't helping you, bro.
That's it.
It ain't going to help you at all. Number two that I want to talk about is the disguise, right? The disguise.
Ooh.
The disguise. This is somebody who is concealing potential gifts, talents, and abilities. So we can be in spaces and be super dope and see that there's needs around us, but pretend like we don't have the answer. Pretend like we in church and you know, and I'm just staying in church, but you know good and well the praise team need help. You know good well they need help. And
preach.
you can sing and you won't get up and sing. So you're hiding and you're concealing and you're pretending that you don't have the gift, the talent, and the ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like if we're going to experience increase in our lives, whatever, we have to give those gifts. We have to, you know what I'm saying? We can't be concealing these gifts and talents. We can't be pretending like we don't have the answer. I'm not saying that you got to become the praise and worship leader. But even if you can help with song selection, like whatever you can do to help, you should do it.
That's it. And you know what? It's the exact opposite of scripture in this, right? Because scripture says your gifts will make room for you. Okay. So your hidden gifts will isolate you. So if you don't operate in your gift, just like the gift will make room for you, the non-operation of the gift will make things close in on you. So now your options and your opportunities dwindle, and then your escape or your different routes of growth, they collapse because you're not using the gift that God gave in order to be blessed. And I'm not just talking about church, right? At your job.
Right.
There are some promotions that don't come our way, not because you don't do it, but because you don't even try. Because
you're not trying.
They don't even try. You know, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to do this. And you know, I just heard from somebody this week, and they said every great success has some failure attached to it. Meaning that anybody you've seen who succeeded at something, they fail or they trip or they fall down at some point.
At some point.
And we let that failure or that fear of failure keep us from doing things. So I think that's good. We disguise ourselves as mundane when you are great, you're anointed, you're blessed.
You're called, you're chosen, you're dope, and you just sitting back.
Disguise yourself as a regular person.
Man, so 1 Peter 4 and 10 through 11 says this, that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So basically it's saying that when you operate from the place that God, that he's gifted to you, that brings glory to God. And if you are bringing glory to God, don't you think that God loves you enough and care about you that he gonna tip you for the glory that you bring to him?
That's it.
If you bringing glory to God, he gonna set you on a hill, on a mountaintop, you know, where everybody can see. Like, so it's just like you just don't understand from just doing what you are good at, doing what God has called you to do in the workplace, mm-hmm. how that will open doors of opportunity, how that will put you in rooms, that'll give you info, that'll, it will do so well for you simply because you're operating in your spiritual or your natural gifts and talents mm-hmm. and ability. It brings glory to God because at the end of the day, hey, you did a great job. Thank you. I'm just thankful to God. Oh, really? You give credit to God for that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a conversation and an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ.
That's it.
So it's like we really block increase in our lives when we disguise ourselves. Yep. You know what I mean? When we walking around with, you know, I want to think about disguise. I immediately think about those glasses with the nose.
The nose and mustache.
The nose and the mustache. No, but and that's how some of us are walking around. Mm-hmm. We're walking around looking like that. You know what I mean? Because we're not using the gifts and the talents that God has given us, we're disguising them. We're hiding them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or check this out. Even from the standpoint of not growing them or practicing, you know what I mean? Like maybe your disguise is not that you're not doing something, but maybe you're not taking what you're doing as serious as you need to.
Yep.
Right? And you believe in God for increase, and you believe in God to increase you. And God's like, well, I can't increase you because you're pretending. Yep. Right? And I'm not going to put a product that's not backed by substance out here. Ooh. I'm waiting for you to have the power, you know what I'm saying, behind the product.
Yes.
And a lot of times that's what it be.
That's it. Man, that's yeah. good.
All right. So the last and not least, and then I'm going to tie this all together, then we're going to get up out of here. Last but not least is the undercover, right? Is the undercover. The undercover is one who pretends for a specific narrative or mission, right? The one who says, you know what? I just want to be this, or I just want to be. So in other words, this comes from a very narcissistic place, right?
Yeah.
A place that I'm only thinking about me. I'm only caring about me. And in a situation, I'm only thinking about me. I'm only caring about me. So I'll do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Actually, it's one more. It's not the last one. So I'll do whatever. I'm just going to go undercover. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make myself look like that I believe what you believe, or I'm with this, or I'm with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not. I'm just here to support my own mission. I'm here to support my own cause.
You're a spy.
Yep.
You're a spy. You sneak in under false pretenses. And as a man,
mm-hmm.
right? We didn't know a lot of people like this. Let's just be honest, right? Like, I'm going to be this dude to get this woman.
Yep.
And then once I got this woman, I'm going to change back into whoever
I'm going to show the real me.
And what you do is you hurt a lot of people along the way.
Yeah.
And you leave even yourself empty, because a person who pretends all the time or you know, who is this imposter being this one person in order to be something else, you don't have true happiness.
Yeah.
Because if you have to trick somebody in order to be happy,
right,
or trick somebody in order to gain fleeting happiness,
yeah,
the person you're really tricking is yourself.
Is yourself.
And you hurting yourself in the long run because, you know, you're really on the wrong territory.
Yeah, and it's like this person who is undercover, you have mastered the art of manipulation.
Yep.
That's what you've done. And so you go through life manipulating people based on what you think, how you feel, and what you want.
Yeah.
So you never give people genuinely who you are. Because honestly, you don't even know who you are.
Yep.
You don't even know what you want. You know what I mean? As it relates to deeply. You're just missioning. Okay, so what you want? You want a discount on shoes? So I'm going to be this person. Because if I be this person, I'll get in with this person, and I'll get my discount on shoes. Yeah. You know what? Or you know what? I want to be able to go to this thing for free. He got tickets. So I'm going to get in cool with him so I can go to the game with him. So you just go through life putting up these specific, you know, missions and tasks up, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what I'm saying? You just undercover. We won't even know. You don't even know what's your true purpose of the relationships and the connections that you make.
Man, look, so you made me think of something right now.
Let's go.
Right, like one of my favorite movies, you know, it's great acting in it. It's called Inglourious Basterds. Hopefully, okay. I didn't offend anybody with that, right? That's the name of the movie.
I've never seen that.
Excellent movie,
out.
Right?
Okay.
There's a scene.
Inglourious.
Yes, Inglourious.
Okay.
And it's basically about American spies who go over into Germany during World War II. Their mission is to kill Hitler. right? Mm. It's like over the top, you know, violent, gory, okay, all this other stuff. My it's a rated R movie. It's a good movie, though, right? Mm-hmm. But there's one scene where they're in a bar. Now, the American soldiers are dressed up like German soldiers. They're dressed up like Nazis. And you got the one soldier, he's a head spy. I mean, he is a spy, right? He knows his stuff. So they're sitting there, and bartender comes over, and he says, you know, how many drinks you want? And the guy, this American, he's a spy. He speaks in German. He says, three. And then he holds up, you know, the American sign for three. And the German soldier, he just looked, and he's like, okay, something ain't right here. Long story short, right, spoiler warning, it just drop off. They start shooting and all this other stuff, right? Immediately, you made me think that you can pretend to be something, right? And on the surface level, you can get away with it. But if you're not a part of that group or truly that person, there are certain things you'll never get that will tell on you and cause the whole spot to be blew up.
Man.
And look here, it was the first thing I thought, because, you know, you can pretend, but you can only pretend for so long.
Yep.
And somebody gonna see through it, and then the jig is up, everything over.
Listen, you in my notes, Luke 12:2. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all men. In other words, you only can be undercover for so long.
That's it.
And after a while, your spot is just gonna be blown up. And you know, it's interesting that you know, if you work in the Detroit Police Department, if you work in Vice, if you work in narcotics, if you work in Vice, narcotics, or something else, they don't allow you 3 years. After 3 years, they put you out. Because you're gonna be you're burned,
yeah,
and you're burned at that point, right? Like if you was working OTEs, and you know, if I'm working OTEs and I'm on a corner or whatever, okay, and somebody come by,
what's an OTE?
OTE,
because I
listen,
you know.
So honest to God, even today with this test, they was like, don't use acronyms because they might not know. But then you find out, you don't even know what stuff mean. Like, we got something called ACRs, right?
Okay.
It can be a positive ACR or a negative ACR.
Okay.
It's basically a write-up that can be positive or could be negative.
Okay.
But I don't know what ACR stand for.
Okay, all right.
Ain't nobody ever told me what it stand for.
Okay.
So OTEs, I think it stands for trafficking. So OTE is basically when you put a hooker on a corner.
Oh, okay.
And you try to get them to offer sex for money.
Okay.
And once an agreement is made, they arrest, they pull up, whatever. So OTE, I'm gonna have to call somebody.
That's good.
Now
that's good.
I want to know. Right.
Okay.
But so let's say that I'm working OTEs, whatever, and let's say that I'm on a corner, whatever, and I'm, you know, doing whatever, and then the person to come up, we make an exchange, and they get busted. Well, that person now knows that I'm the police.
That's right.
Right. So it's like after a while, they got to change it up because they're like, oh, well, they see you. They know you the police because but and then that person's going to tell people. So like 2 or 3 years, they tell you like, okay, now we need a whole new crew now.
That's
because
right.
These people know who y'all are already. So I said that all to say is that eventually the spot is going to be blown up. And what are the consequences that's going to be there once it's uncovered that you were only here for a specific mission or a vision or whatever, and we break people's hearts, we ruin people's lives, we do all these different things because we honestly never wanted them, or we never wanted, or we never really supported the cause. We only did it for our own good, like, and for our own development or our own whatever. And it's just like, yo, nah, you That's manipulation. Like it's total manipulation. If you're out here just manipulating people, and like you said, you don't even know who you are because you're just, you know, you're just sold to the highest bidder, right? And he's like, well, what is that, right? And so, last but not least, is the pleaser, right? It's the pleaser. The pleaser is the one who pretends to go along to get along. So the pleaser, they have their feelings. They know what they stand for and what they don't stand for. But just for the sake of not arguing, they pretend and just go along with it, right? I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I don't want to hear their mouth. So I'm just going to pretend that it's okay. But when you become a pleaser, you always get the short end of the stick.
That's it.
And then it births this mindset that everybody's out to get you, mm-hmm. and that all people do is hurt you. And it's not that all people do is hurt you; it's that you're never honest about what you what agree with and mm-hmm. what you don't agree with. You never take a stand mm-hmm. for how you really feel. So you have. And this is not relational. This is life. It's about life. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it could be applied to relationships, whatever. So you just pretend and you go along, and then you realize that you've accepted this person. You have made an agreement, and this whole relationship, you've been getting a short end of the stick. And it's like, this person ain't dogging you. It's just that you pretended mm-hmm. to be okay with something that you never was okay with.
That's it. And then you get upset.
And then now your feelings hurt, and now all this stuff going on. It's like... Well, why did you pretend to be okay with something that you was okay with, whatever?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And I can understand not saying things in the heat of the moment, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, sometimes we say things off color in the heat of the moment, right? Mm-hmm. But you do have to make a point of addressing this stuff,
yeah.
right? And a lot of times the pleaser never addresses it. They allow it to just... go on, like you said, and on and on. Mm-hmm. And virtually what you become is a doormat.
A doormat.
Because you're just allowing everything and not saying anything about it. Yeah. Now, you may be a person, because I'm, you know, I don't like confrontation myself, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'll deal with it. You mm-hmm. know, I don't have no problem with it, right? I can do what I can do. But I don't like confrontation. So I choose my battles, right? And I'm like, okay, I say to myself, I can't say nothing right this moment. Mm-hmm. But... I'm going to say something about this. Mm-hmm. And you have to be like that, because if you don't and you let too much time go by or you don't say anything, then a precedence gets set up mm-hmm. and then it becomes a problem.
Yeah. So Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Hmm. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hmm. In other words, we have to ask ourselves, like, Who am I trying to please here? Like, you know what I mean? Am I trying to please man or am I trying to please Christ? Like, mm-hmm. I gotta stand firm on what I believe. Stand firm on how I feel. Mm-hmm. And if I stand firm on what I feel, it don't matter who come and who go. At least I know that I'm true to who I am, what I believe, mm-hmm. and I won't be taken advantage of.
That's it.
You know what I mean? But we be so afraid of what people gonna say, what people gonna think, and we just go along and get along.
That's it. And you know, it's all about, you know, some of us haven't been taught about that conflict management, right? Mm-hmm. Or about, you know, even tone or inflection of voice. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are the exact opposite. They tell you everything that's on their mind, right? And that ain't good either, right? But you have to learn how to at least say something, because what happens is, you know, all that anger and that frustration, that pressure builds up. And then it comes out the wrong way. Like, you ever know somebody is upset about something you did or said? You're like, okay, what's wrong with you? I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. And then, you know, they start doing things that let you know they not okay. They not all right. Well, that's because it hasn't been dealt with in the correct way, right? Or we haven't spoken about it in the correct way. And that sometimes it takes practice, but we have to make sure that we're not doing it just to please people.
Yeah.
And that becomes, you know, problematic, where we're putting people above God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I said all this to say is that, like the beginning of this podcast, is that if you want to experience increase in your life, mm-hmm. you have to be able to identify, am I truly being authentic in who I am, what I believe, and what I believe I should be doing or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And how if you stay in a state of pretend, you block increase. Mm-hmm. If Colin just pretends that he's the best football player ever, mm-hmm. he will never be able to do the work that it takes to become the best player because he's pretending. Mm-hmm. If you don't address the problems or the situations or whatever it is in your life, if you just pretend your way through it, you will never experience increase in your life. And here's a story in the Bible that demonstrates this perfectly. This is known as John 4, the Samaritan woman. So it says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard, I'm at John chapter 4, and I'm reading New Living Translation, okay, had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself did not baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judah and returned to Galilee. Verse number 4. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. Is that right? Sychar? S-Y-C-H-A-R, whatever it is.
Yeah, I would say
near the field that Jacob gave his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tried, and Jesus was tired from the long walk. Mm-hmm. He sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where will you get this living water from? And besides, you don't think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus responded, verse 13, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling well springing from within them, giving them eternal life." Mm-hmm. 15. "Please, sir." "Okay. You mean I'm going to drink this water and I'm never going to be thirsty again?" Like, that's an increase, right? Like, yeah, it is. That's a gift that keeps on giving, right? Mm-hmm. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have time. To come here to get water." Verse number 16. Jesus says, "Go and get your husband."
That's it.
Jesus told her. Verse 17. And now this just blows my mind, because Jesus has offered her mm-hmm. some living water. Mm-hmm. He's told her, "I have a drink for you. And if you want this drink, if you take this drink, you will never thirst again."
That's it.
And then she says, "Okay, I want it." Mm-hmm. And then Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, here's a drink." This guy really says, "Where is your husband? Where is your husband?" She says, verse 17, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus says, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here in Mount Gerizim? Yeah, Gerizim. I didn't read this before, y'all, so I didn't look up these words. But Gerizim or something like that, where our ancestors to worship." Then Jesus replied and said, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming where it will be no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For our salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming indeed, and here is now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Then the woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." And just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, "What are you doing with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man mm-hmm. who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from all the villages to see him. And the Bible talks about how the people were saved. The interesting thing about this, he says, I have something for you, right? Mm-hmm. I have some living for water for you. In other words, I have some increase for you.
Yep.
I want to increase you. The increase that I give, you will never hunger, you will never thirst again. Mm-hmm. But before I give you this increase, let me see, will you pretend or will you be real?
That's it.
Where is your husband? I don't have a husband. In this story, in my opinion, mm-hmm. In my opinion, the prerequisite to the increase to the living water mm-hmm. was the notion and the ability to be real.
That's it.
Before God.
I agree. That's it.
Let me see if you're going to pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if you're going to pretend. And guess what she did? Like all of us would do, fail the test.
That's it.
We fail the test.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder the increase that has knocked on your door
mm-hmm.
that God so desperately wants you to have that we're not experiencing because we are too busy pretending.
Whoo.
Like, I've read this story 1,000 times. I've heard this story preached 1,000 times. They that worship must worship in spirit and truth. You got to be in spirit and in truth. But the increase didn't come until she was able to expose herself and to be naked before God.
That's it.
After she said, well, yeah, you're right. You must be a prophet. Shoot. You know what I'm saying? I did have this. She set her cup down. She didn't even want no more water.
That was it.
She went to go tell everybody about. So her increase depended on her willingness to be real before God.
That's it.
And all I'm saying today is that our sin in our lives does not surprise God.
Nope.
God knows. The word says that we were born in sin mm-hmm. and shaped into iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
God is not surprised by our sin. God is not surprised by our shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
God is not surprised by our failures. But what he's concerned about is, will you pretend or will you keep it real?
That's it.
In other words, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. In the garden, when Adam fell,
mm-hmm.
God came walking through the cool of the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And instead of being naked before God
mm-hmm.
and saying, God, I'm here. I ate from that doggone tree.
I messed up
mm-hmm. and I'm naked.
Mm-hmm.
We try to cover ourselves. So they sold fig trees and leek trees and they covered themselves. And God had to say, well, you know, have you eaten from the tree?
That's it.
Who told you you was naked?
It.
How do you even know that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So men, and as a result of that, what did God do? He drove us away
mm-hmm.
from the place that he put every living resource that we needed. So the way back to that place, the way back to the Garden of Eden, the way back to my increase, the way back to everything that God has for me is that, am I willing to be real before God? And God is not surprised by our sin.
Nope.
And I think about the life of David, and I think about how messed up David was. I think about the wrong that David did. But every time I see David do wrong, mm-hmm. I think about Psalm 51. Mm-hmm. Lord, forgive me.
Right back.
You know what I'm saying? He you know, forgive me. I sinned against you only.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this evil in your sight. Even when he messed up with Uriah, and the prophet came, and the prophet was like, David, you know that's you, right? You know mm-hmm. you're the one who did that. He immediately fell before his face, worship God, pray to God. He immediately was willing to be transparent before God and say, you know what? I messed up
mm-hmm.
and I need your help. And it's like, we're just going through life faking it until we make it. But we ain't gonna make it nowhere faking it.
Nope.
So if you messed up, then just tell God you messed up. If you've been doing this, you've been doing this, then be real with that. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't come to me pretending like you got it all together when I already can look. I know the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere at the same time. So here you are coming to me asking me to bless you, and you pretend like you got it all together, and I know you jacked and messed up.
Yep.
God, in other words, in spirit and in truth, they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth, from your spirit, from a place of that our spirit man is who we are, right? That's your spirit man is who you are, right? It's the I don't know what to call it, but these other facets of you, or I'm this or I'm that, that ain't truly who you are.
It's not carnal base.
And ooh, this is so good because God is just giving me so much revelation right here. This is why. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. This is why homosexuals should be allowed in church. Because if you're gonna come in here, worship me in spirit, who you are, and in truth. I know I'm messed up. I know I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I know I'm doing things that you shouldn't have to do. But God, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not surprised by our sin, because he knows there's a sin. The whole reason why he died is for our sins.
That's true.
But our sins should put us closer to God, to be transparent, to say, God, I need you to increase me. I need you to bless me in this area so I can be delivered, so I can be set free. But so many times we go through life pretending, so we don't experience the increase that God has for us, because we're pretending.
Not being true with him.
We're not being true.
At all. And that becomes the whole purpose of church, right? Mm-hmm. We have, in a lot of ways, made church about entertainment and not about confession.
Yeah.
Because confession and transparency is truly what God is looking for.
Yeah.
This is why the Bible says that he is pleased with a broken and a contrite heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. And that takes truth to get to that point.
Say that one more time. He's pleased with what?
A broken and a contrite. That means you've looked at yourself, you've seen who you are in light of him, and you say, man, I'm wrong. I messed up.
And all God wants from us is to constantly, constantly see that I am not meeting the mark and that I need you.
That's it.
I am not meeting the mark and I need you. That's what he wants us to see, because ultimately the saving that's going to take place is happened by faith. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
It ain't physically happened yet.
Mm-mm.
But if you go through your life, Go ahead.
No. I'm just thinking. You're absolutely right, because it takes faith to come to God first.
Yeah.
Right. We don't come to him perfect. We come to him broken and messed up.
Right.
And if I'm pretending to be perfect, if I walk into church like I'm perfect, if I dress like I'm perfect, and then pray like I'm perfect, then I'll never experience the true power, forgiveness, and love of God.
Of God.
When you come broken, and you say, God, I've messed up. God, I am messed up. I have messed up.
You know what?
That's when his power opens and he releases forgiveness.
I know just what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You can have this. And that's the whole point. A lot of times we think increase is money, cars, clothes, and different things like that. I mean, those are form. Those are material things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Those are material things.
Yep.
But, you know, and increase can be, you know, more money, better job, raises, stuff like that. That's cool and all. But true increase is God intervening in your life and God giving you power to overcome, right? Like in a garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was feeling heavy. He was like, yo, dog, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
Like, I ain't trying to do it. Like, Father, is there another way? But God gave him power to overcome. And it was his transparency of saying, oh my goodness, thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, take this cup from me.
Yep.
It was in his transparency and his realness. I'm like, yeah, God, I'm ready. I'm about to die. Sure is. I'm ready to die today. Let's go to do it. No, he wasn't happy. He wasn't proud about that. He was real about it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I believe the Holy Spirit was able to supernaturally increase him. Mm-hmm. And he was able to say, you know what, God? Nevertheless, let your will be done. That's it. And this is the increase that we miss in our lives when we go through our lives pretending. We will never experience the true power, the true power and increase of God, God adding super to our natural, as long as we stay comfortable in pretending to be who we're not, hiding our abilities, you know, being self-centered, self-focused, and going along to get along. God cannot increase us in that because we are not being real before him. We are not being true before him. And you say, well, why do I got to be real for God? And because he already knows me. No, he knows you because he's God, but he wants to be intimate with you.
That's it.
He wants to know your inward parts. In other words, there's a difference between, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if somebody would ask me how I was doing today, I would just been like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel like they can handle me, right? Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to put that on how I'm feeling on them, right?
Yeah.
But because we have a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have a, you know what I'm saying? I guess I hate to use the word intimate, but because we have an intimate relationship, yeah, a brotherhood, a bond, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable enough. We can be real.
Yeah.
And I can be transparent. Mm-hmm. And because I was willing to be transparent, you had the words that blessed an increase. Mm-hmm. So I went from feeling like about it to like, it is what it's in God's hands. And that was because I was willing to be real with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, man.
And if I could say this right, yeah, like, I think that's a perfect example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for the audience, the people will never know this, right? But I'll just say this. Couple months, what was this, last year, you went to Columbus to preach.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and I rode with you. What was that, like a 3.5, 4-hour
drive? Yeah, yeah.
Right? In that time, we had some very just, you know, deep conversation, right, about some stuff bothering the both of us. And I know I walked away from those conversations better.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
It wasn't a surface level conversation. Mm-hmm. It was very deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were isolated in the vehicle together.
Yep, sure was.
And that was a perfect opportunity for me to be real with you, right? And sometimes we're not isolating ourselves with God to be real with God. We're not taking that time, right? Within that 4-hour trip, there were things that I've been dealing with over the last couple of years that I can bounce off you and you bounce back off me that got resolved within that time. Well, you know, if it was just a pretend friendship, we would just been listening to music for four hours. And sometimes that's how our relationship is with God.
Yeah.
We have a very pretend relationship.
Man.
If it ain't no music at home, if it ain't nobody else preaching, if it ain't nobody else worshiping, then we don't really talk to him.
Yeah.
When the truth is, you need to spend that time talking with God.
Yeah.
And to be real with him. And it's not even about him, like you said. It's really about self-revelation.
Yeah.
Like, okay, do I know that I need him?
Right.
He knows that I need him.
He knows that already.
But do I know, that I need him?
Right.
Do I know that I'm messed up?
And he's such a gentleman that he will let you go through life pretending like you got him and you really don't. Cause he like, look, I ain't gonna, if you wanna act like we got it, you wanna act like we cool, then I guess you can just pretend like we cool, but you will never reap the benefits of us actually being cool the way that you portray that we are. And that's the whole point of this message, is that like, if you don't be real and transparent before God, you will never experience the increase that God has for you.
Yes.
So real quick, I know we wail above our time. I'm just going to give out these four points, and I'm just going to speed through them real quick. Yep. So I just want to give people this. It says, how to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm still perfecting. I'm actually preaching this on Sunday. This is
so y'all come out to conquerors.
Right.
Y'all come out to conquerors.
Yeah.
Hear this.
I'm preaching this Sunday. So how to worship in spirit and truth. Number one is consistent communication, right? It's not enough to... You have to be in consistent communication with God. Because when you just talk to God, oh, God, hey, how you doing today? You know, thank you for this, thank you for that. All right, cool, right? But when you are in constant communication, right, then you're able to talk about things that you normally wouldn't talk about. You're mm-hmm. able to express things, whatever, because I'm constantly updating you on what's going on, what's happening. And God cares for us. And the way that we be real and transparent and worship God in the spirit and the truth is that we pray and we have communication with God and we express to God our feelings. Mm-hmm. We express to God that we're feeling burdened and we're feeling the heavy and we don't know this and we don't know that. Like, prayer is just not like thanking God and worshiping God and stuff like that. Yeah, that's a part of prayer, but there's also a part of prayer where you should sit and listen mm-hmm. for God to speak to you. And there's also a part of prayer where you should be expressive, where you should tell God what's on your heart.
That's good.
Tell God what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. Tell God what's bothering you. Tell God what things are coming up, whatever. And as you give those things over to God, the God now says, okay, because you shared these things with me, I can help you with them now. Mm-hmm. Because you shared these things with me, I'm going to intervene on your behalf because you've been willing to be transparent and you let me know how you feel. So consistent communication. And that's just simply what prayer is. Number two is trust, mm-hmm. right? You have to trust God. There's a difference. And the reason why I say trust God, because if you worship God in spirit and in truth, like prime example, Colin right now is in football mm-hmm. and I don't leave them. I don't leave Colin there. I'm there the whole time because I haven't developed a relationship with this football team and his staff that I trust them to take care of my son.
That's right.
So because, ooh, this is so good. So because I don't trust them, I do not full-heartedly release what is my responsibility mm-hmm. to them.
That's right.
Right? Hmm. So we have things in life that happens to us, right? We have things in life that we fail at or that we suck at or whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if we don't truly release God, if we don't truly trust God, we hold on to him
yep.
and we never release them. Therefore, God cannot intervene because mm-hmm. the thing that we're dealing and we're struggling with, we've hold on That's to it and we not have released it. Mm-hmm. But when you trust somebody, I can leave my kid fully with you. I ain't got to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to call you every 5 minutes. I ain't got to whatever, because I know that you're going to treat my son as if he was your son.
Exactly.
And you're not going to let my son get nothing away. Good. Not getting away. Nothing. You wouldn't let your kids get away. Mm-hmm. And so so basically when I have trust in a relationship, I'm able to fully release.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, we don't trust God, and because we don't trust God wholeheartedly, we haven't fully released to him the burdens and the Ooh. Things and the that's on our issues, because some of us think that God is a daunting God. Some of us think that God is out to punish us. Some of us thinks that God doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these notions, it prevents increase in our lives because we haven't released it. We still holding on tight to it.
Man, best stop pretending.
Man. Three is lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right, how to trust God. You have to understand that God's ways and God's thoughts are far from your thoughts,
yes.
right? They're far from your ways. But if you're gonna walk in spirit and in truth, you have to accept that God can be doing something that you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand and you have to accept the fact of that it's not by your own understanding, right?
Yep.
Because you will never worship God in spirit and in truth if you feel like God is out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like he's withholding something from you. If you feel like he's punishing you. You see what I'm saying? Like, all of these things are going to be detrimental for you being able to be transparent before God. Because why would I be transparent with you if I feel like the way that you're doing stuff or the way that you're going to handle me is not going to be in my best interest?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That stop. But some of us, we have these images about God, which prevents us from worshiping in spirit and in truth to him.
And a lot of times that stuff is hearsay.
Yeah.
Because we ain't learned them ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So. And then last, but definitely not least, is acknowledge him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you say, everything that you do, acknowledge God, right? So, and when I worship God in spirit and truth, or how to worship God in spirit and in truth, is I always have to be in a position where I'm acknowledging God, right? So that means that, hey, God, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. What do you say about this?
Mm-hmm.
How, like, you know what I'm saying? How can, you know, just that whole mindset of acknowledging God. So I guess acknowledging can be like twofold, right? So acknowledging is being able to say, you are the Lord of my life, right? You are on the throne place, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to live my life according to you, according to your will and not my own will, right? Mm-hmm. That's a part of acknowledging. You know, acknowledging could be making sure that before you make decisions, you know what I mean, that you're considering his way. So there, we can kind of go several ways, but
yeah.
And like I said, I'm still putting this together because this is what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I just jumped the gun with this because it excited me so much.
This is good.
Excited me so much. I jumped the gun with it. I'm still perfecting the message. But yeah, it's just like we got to be willing to acknowledge God.
That's it. And you know, and that takes a bit of humility.
Yeah.
Like even in all of this, it takes a lot of humility to not pretend that we're something we're not.
Yeah.
It takes humility to look at the plight of others and what's happening with them. And it definitely takes a lot of humility to approach God in all the things you're doing.
Yeah.
We are so based and set up to, you know, to be the head of our own life. That's mm-hmm. what the world tells us, to look for our own truth.
Yeah.
To do what you feel is right in your heart when God is saying, you know, the heart is deceitful and all these things. So the whole thing is, okay, we have to be humble enough to trust God in all things in our life.
Yeah.
And then pray that he helps us to be a better man, a better woman, a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better wife, a better this, a better that. And all that comes from us not pretending, being real, being honest, and walking in his word.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, thank y'all for listening today. I truly hope something was said that will push you, and I hope you pick it up what we're laying down. And I'm just saying that the key to increase in our lives, the key to God giving her a water and fulfilling her. And that's the thing. Some of us have holes in our lives. So we have pockets in our lives that need to be filled up, mm-hmm. you know, that God so desperately wants to fill. But the question to God is, are you willing to be transparent or are you going to pretend? Mm-hmm. And we see that when she pretended, it didn't go well for her. But when she admitted, she was able to receive this living water that she should never thirst again. And some of us, you know, we need increase in our finances. You know, we need increase in our relationships. We need increase in all these different areas of our lives. But increase is only going to come from your willingness to be transparent, your willingness to go to God in spirit and in truth about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, God, this area I'm weak in. I need your help. This area I need this. And as a result from showing that you're human, as a result for showing that you don't have it all together, God rewards you for that. And so I just hope something was said that'll be a blessing to somebody. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
We ain't gonna pretend like we're gonna take this on no further.
We gonna end it right here. All right. Continue to listen. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Hearn. And you can follow me on Facebook at Justin Hearn.
And you can follow me at D Allen Blessed on Instagram and on Facebook as Damon J. Allen.
Hey, love y'all. Peace.